Peace be to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Lord came to earth to bring peace to mankind. That is why the angels on the night of his birth in Bethlehem chanted, "Peace on earth to men of goodwill." Today's gospel relates to that, for when his stay on earth was about to end, he again emphasized his desire for peace by greeting his apostles on his first meeting with them after his resurrection with the words, "Peace be to you." When Christ spoke of peace, he wasn't referring to merely a friendly relation of men with other fellow men, as is commonly understood by peace in the present day. His idea of peace was far deeper. Our Lord was talking about the essential form of peace, which is the friendship of the soul with God. Remember, our Lord said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all other things will be added unto you," meaning that if we focus on obeying God and maintaining a peaceful relationship with him, then he will help us be at peace with one another. Peace between the soul and God is established by sanctifying grace and is maintained by prayer and the sacraments. The chief reason why there is so much conflict today among men and nations is that there are so many people who are not at peace with God. Many, if not all, of those who have extensive political power, especially in the communistic lands, have no concern for God. They reject the very idea of God and are striving to tear religious belief out of the hearts of their people. Little wonder that they are stimulating hatred and strife, not only among the unfortunate people who are being subjected to their tyranny, but even among those people who still retain a yearning for God and for religion. It is evident that communism, both as a philosophy and as a form of government, drives all true peace out of human life. Men instinctively crave peace, but how much longer will communism maintain its hold in those lands where it has political power, we do not know, but we can and we should pray that it will soon be overthrown, for it is a system that is based on the spirit of injustice, hatred, and despair. We should do all in our power to promote peace in our own land, and the most effective way of doing this is to strive to promote love for God and the recognition of Christ and his church. The rejection of God always leads to discord and national disaster. Keep a true peace in your soul by retaining the state of grace. If you have the misfortune of committing a mortal sin, remember that our Lord has given you a remedy to return to his peace through the sacrament of penance, which he instituted by the words, "Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them, and whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." We cannot hope to help others or society if we do not first work on ourselves. In this, we can take example from our Lord. He spent 30 years practicing obedience as a remote preparation for his preaching, and then at the beginning of his public life, he spent 40 days in the desert in fasting and prayer. Again, the night before his passion, where do we find him? In the garden, praying. This is how our Lord gained peace, the peace that he left to us through his apostles. This was the reason Christ came into the world, to restore the peace that men lost by sin. He came to give us that true peace which the world cannot give. And this is what he meant when he said, "I have not come to bring peace but the sword." That is, I have not come to bring the false sense of peace the world seeks, which is merely pleasure of the senses, but a true peace a peace of soul, which will fall like a sword on those who reject the gospel. We find this peace by taking up our cross and following our Lord. But for our own consolation in this battle with the world, we should look to the resurrection and remember that that is what awaits those who follow our Lord. St. Augustine, in his early life, sought peace in every direction except towards God. Like someone of the world, he saw the peace of God as a sword, something undesirable, and he tried his best to avoid it. But he couldn't. He was drawn to God, and eventually he gave up resisting the grace that was being given to him and accepted the peace our Lord offered him. Our Lord is offering each of us a similar peace. Externally, it might not look peaceful, such as bearing wrongs patiently or holding your tongue when you would really like to respond to someone. But after the unfavorable circumstance has passed, is when you receive the peace that Christ is giving you. Many times as Catholics, we will be called upon to be peacemakers, but the good thing is that we have many examples of saints in the past who were peacemakers, and we can call upon their assistance. One saint that comes to mind is Pope Saint Leo the Great, whose feast was this past Tuesday. He was the successor of Pope Sixtus III on the throne of Peter. His pontificate of 21 years was filled with conflict and strife. Right after his consecration, he got word that the Pelagians, a heretical sect that denied original sin, that they were being received back into the church without rejecting their errors. He put an end to this by requiring those former Pelagians to make an abjuration from their former error. Next, he had to deal with the Manichaeans, another heretical sect, who came to Rome in order to flee the Vandals. But his greatest act of peace was in 451, when Attila the Hun started making his way to Rome. As a true father, St. Leo went boldly forward to do what he could to protect the people after the emperors had failed. Attila, as you know, was a ruthless tyrant who had no care for God or anyone, really, except for himself. Contrary to the expectation of everyone, Attila met the Pope in an honorable fashion and made him a peace treaty. The great historian Baronius says that Attila saw two people standing next to the Pope, and as he talked with him, and he assumed that these were St. Peter and St. Paul, protecting the ruler of the church. In any case, Attila decided that it was time to wrap things up, and he headed home. On his way back, Attila died of a mysterious disease, which some attribute to the fact that he was secretly making plans to return to Rome. If this is true, it is another proof that God protects those who work for him, and by his protection grants them a peace which the world cannot give. Our Lord said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." We are all children of God by baptism. But how we truly live up to this name is by proving it in our daily lives. Give peace in our times, O Lord, for there is none other that fighteth for us, but only Thou, our God. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.